إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 13th session dealing with the topic of al-qadr, yani al-iman bil-qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi, having faith in the divine pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, its good and its evil. And we have been reading from the book of Al-Allama Hafiz Ibn Ahmed Ibn Ali Al-Hakami Rahimahullah, which he has entitled A'lam Al-Sunnah Al-Manshura Li'atiqad Al-Ta'ifa Al-Najiyah Al-Mansura. And the question that we are going to discuss tonight is question number 150. And this question yani pretty much closes the discussion concerning the third level of the levels of Iman and Qadr, that is the level that deals with Al-Mashiyah, the Mashiyah of Allah, the will of Allah. And the question that we want to discuss tonight, well, before we go into the question for tonight, let's quickly review the hadith that we discussed last week, which are evidences for this level of Iman in the Mashiyah of Allah. Last week we read six hadith that the Shaykh, the author, rahimahullah, mentioned concerning Iman in the Mashiyah of Allah, believing that everything that happens in the heavens and the earth, everything that occurs, every created being and the actions is in accordance with the Mashiyah, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything and everyone is subject to the will of Allah. So if anybody can mention any one of those six hadith. Naam. Ibrahim.
Man yurid Allahu khayran yufaqihu fi ddin.
Again.
Man yurid Allahu khayran
bihi. Naam. Man yurid Allahu bihi
yufaqihu fi ddin.
Naam. Meaning?
Whoever Allah wants good for, He gives him understanding of the religion.
Whoever Allah wants or intends good for him, He gives him understanding of the deen. And whoever Allah intends good for them, khair, He gives that person understanding, fiqh, fahm of the deen. And this is without any restriction. Yani Allah does whatever He wills. If He wills something, it is. And this is the great saying that we need to memorize in Arabic. Naam. Whatever Allah wills, will be. And whatever Allah does not will never be. Ma sha Allah, kana. وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. This is very important. Whatever Allah wills will be. And whatever Allah doesn't will, it will never happen. So if Allah wills that a person be upon khair, then He will make it so that will happen. He will give them understanding of the deen. The one who doesn't have understanding of the deen, they will never achieve khair. They will never achieve khair. Not the real khair. They might get some worldly benefits, some money or some yani things of the dunya, but they will not get the real khair, yani the pleasure of Allah and His reward and His protection and His guidance in this world and His reward in Jannah in the next life. Naam, other hadith, another hadith that we read last week. Naam, Ahmed. Naam, meaning?
Say,
Now, the Prophet ﷺ prohibited that a person say, it is the will of Allah and the will of so-and-so. As though the will of so-and-so is equal to the will of Allah. Yani what that person wants or wills is equal like what Allah wills. That's impossible. This is a type of shirk. But rather you should say what? Ma sha Allah, thumma. After that, secondarily, subject to the will of Allah, then it's the will of so-and-so. Thumma sha'a fulan. Ma sha Allah, thumma sha'a fulan. And in another narration, the more important or better statement to make is what? Ma sha Allah wahdahu. Ma sha Allah wahdah. Yani it is the will of Allah alone. Because His will is the one that's executed unrestrictedly, absolutely. Yani, if we're talking about, as we will discuss tonight, al-irada al-qawniya, His universal will. Yani the will, His mashiyah, that when He wills something, it is. And if He doesn't will, it will never be. Another hadith, a third hadith that we mentioned last week. Even in meaning, Naam, Musa. Ala lisani rasulihi ma sha. Naam. What is the meaning? Intercede. Tu'jaru. You will be giving ajr. Ajr. You will be given what? Ajr. Rewarded. You will be rewarded. Intercede for someone who is in need and you will be rewarded. Guaranteed. Even if your intercession is accepted or not. And the end of the hadith is what's applicable to our discussion tonight. Whatever He wills. Yani Allah will make happen. He will make it occur. On the tongue of His messenger, like He will make the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He will make him to decide, to say whatever He wills. Yani whatever He decides is according to the will of Allah. If He decides to accept the intercession and grant that person what they are in need of, this is by the decree of Allah. If He decides not to accept the intercession, this is also by the decree of Allah. All of it is by the decree of Allah. يَقْدِ اللَّهِ على لسان رسوله ما شاء, what He wills. نعم. Fourth hadith. نعم.
إن قلوب بني آدم بين أصبعين الرحمن.
أصبعين أصابع الرحمن. نعم. كقلب واحد. يصرفها كيف يشاء. What is the meaning?
Truly the hearts of the children of Adam are between the fingers of the Most Merciful, like one heart, and He moves them however He wills.
Now, and we brought a few different narrations of this hadith, the wording of it, but the meaning of it is the same. يعني قلوب العباد or إن قلوب بني آدم, as it came in Sahih Muslim. The hearts of the human beings, the worshippers of Allah, are between two of the fingers of Ar-Rahman, like one heart. All of the hearts are like one heart to Him. He does with them as He wills. He turns them as He wills. Naam. And this shows what? That Allah does whatever He wills. With the hearts of the creatures, as well as everything else besides their hearts. And everything in existence. Allah does with it whatever He wills. And in that hadith, in the narration of Imam Muslim, he said, then the Prophet ﷺ said what? Anybody know the supplication? Naam. In Sahih Muslim, he said, Allahumma. مصرف الكلوب صرف كلوبنا على طاعتك. And the way we learned it before in another narration, يا مقلب الكلوب ثبت كلوبنا ثبت قلبي على دينك. That's one of the hadith. And the other one is يا مصرف الكلوب صرف كلوبنا على طاعتك. And the meaning of it is the one who controls the hearts, the one who turns the hearts, make our hearts, yani direct our hearts to obedience to you. And the other supplication said, turn our hearts, yani to be upon your deen, على دينك. Make our hearts to be upon your deen. Naam. Another hadith. Anybody remember another hadith? Tayyib. Naam.
Was the hadith of when the companions were on a trip?
Naam, when they were on a journey and they fell asleep at night. And the Prophet ﷺ said to them what? Anybody remember?
Not to go to sleep, right?
Always no. Naam. Ahmed. Salih. Naam, inna Allah qabada arwahakum. Hina sha'a وَرَدَّهَا حِينَ شَاءَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they woke up and they missed the time of the Fajr prayer, and they were troubled, obviously, of course, right? A believer, if you miss the time of the Fajr prayer, sunrise, subhanAllah, it's like a day is ruined. But he said, Allah, He took your souls when He willed, and He returned them when He willed. And Allah does whatever He wills, with the hearts, with the souls, with the creatures, every created being, to know without any limitation. And the last hadith, anybody remember the last hadith? Naam. Naam, that was the last hadith that the Shaykh mentioned, Naam. Naam, when Allah wants to punish a nation, well, he actually said, when Allah wants to have mercy upon a nation, Naam, then He does what? He takes the Prophet, He takes his soul before the people. So He sends him ahead as a forerunner for them, yani before them. Naam. When Allah wants to destroy a nation, yeah, He destroys them while the Prophet is living. And He shows the Prophet their destruction and their punishment. Naam. Since they what? Since they denied Him and they disobeyed His command. These are the hadith that we covered last week, and these hadith with the 10 ayat of the Quran that the Shaykh mentioned under this question are all important evidences. Any one or two or three of them, inshallah, try to pick from them something that you can retain in your memory to help you to understand the proof and the evidence for this particular issue. Tonight the question that we want to discuss, as I said, is question number 150. And it is a very important question. Naam. Before I read this question, I want to present some questions. These are questions that we should be able to answer, Muslims in general, especially the people of Sunnah, and the people who have some keenness to learn their deen, and to understand the essential matters of the deen. And from the most important matters of deen are what? The matters of Iman, arkan of Iman. And this is one of the arkan of Iman. But if we were to ask other people, and perhaps even some Muslims, they wouldn't be able to answer this question. They wouldn't have a clue of what is the correct answer to this question. For example, if we were to ask people, the sin, and the corruption, and the filth, and the wrongdoing, and the kufr and shirk that is in the world today, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does He love this? And this is keeping in mind what, if we're talking to people who believe that there is a creator, who is all powerful, who controls everything in the heavens and earth, does He love this sin and corruption in the earth? If we were to ask them, probably they would say, no, He doesn't love it. We would ask them, is He pleased that it is taking place? What would they say? What would we say? No, He's not pleased with it. Probably, they might say that, they might answer that one also. If we were to ask them, are these things taking place by the will of Allah? Is it by His will? Is this what He wills to be taking place? Here they will be stumped. They might give any answer, but they won't be able to explain it, because they don't have an explanation. And even the Muslims, in some cases, we also won't be able to explain this. Is it by the will of Allah? What do we say? We say yes, everyone agrees it's by the will of Allah? Nobody differs. Now, oh, you want to explain it? He wants to explain the answer, okay. So we're going to distinguish, right? And that's what the Shaykh is presenting tonight in this question. It's a beautiful question that he has given. Many of the scholars have spoken about it. And if we have time tonight, inshallah, I'd like to read his answer. And then I also like to read a couple of other explanations of this particular topic, just kind of to reinforce in our minds the meaning of the correct stance that we should take concerning whatever is taking place in the world, whether it is kufr or shirk, or sin or corruption, or evil or injustice, oppression, wrongdoing, whatever it is this really by the will of Allah? And if we say it is, then how do we explain it? This is what the Shaykh is presenting here tonight. And inshallah, I'd like to read some different explanations, which are really the same, but the wording is different, and it may sink in better if somebody hears it explained in more than one way. So, let's read what the Shaykh says. He says, to start with, The question is a long question. قد أخبرنا الله تعالى في كتابه وعلى لسان رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبما علمنا من صفاته أنه يحب المحسنين والمتقين والصابرين ويرضى عن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. That indeed Allah, the Most High, has informed us in His book, that is the Quran, and upon the tongue of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as through what we know of His sifat, as well as what we know from the sifat of Allah, from what Allah has revealed in the Quran and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained to us, and also from what we understand from the sifat of Allah, His descriptions and qualities and characteristics, we know that Allah loves the muhsineen, yani those who do good, the people of ihsan. And He loves the muttaqeen, the people who have taqwa, who observe the laws of Allah and avoid His prohibitions. And He loves the sabireen, yani those who are patient and forbearing, no matter what happens to them in this world, whether good or bad. If yani good comes to them, they are thankful. And if other than that comes to them, they are patient. And He is pleased with those who believe and do good deeds. We know this from the book of Allah and from the sunnah and from the sifat of Allah, that indeed He loves the muhsineen, and He loves the muttaqeen, and He loves the sabireen, and He is pleased with those who believe and do good deeds. The Shaykh, he goes on to say, yani this we know for a fact, وَلَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ وَلَا الظَّالِمِينَ وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرُ وَلَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ. And we also know this from the book of Allah and from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from Allah's sifat, that He does not love the disbelievers, the people who disbelieve. He does not love the zalimeen, those who are unjust, wrongdoers, oppressors. And He is not pleased with kufr, disbelief, for His servants. He is not pleased that His servants yani engage in kufr. And He does not love al-fasad, corruption. He does not love al-fasad. The Shaykh, he says, مَا قَوْنِ كُلِّ ذَلِكَ بِمَشِيَةِ اللَّهِ وَإِرَادَتِهِ. We know this, that Allah loves the muhsineen and the muttaqeen and sabireen, and He is pleased with those who believe and do good deeds, and He doesn't love the disbelievers or the wrongdoers, and He is not pleased with kufr for His servants, and He doesn't love fasad. Yet in spite of this fact, all of this is taking place, is happening by the Mashiach of Allah, by the will of Allah, all of this. And not just iman and amal as-salih, but kufr and shirk and corruption and wrongdoing and sin. All of this is happening bi mashiyatillah, by the will of Allah, wa iradatihi, and His intention and design. And likewise, the Shaykh says, very importantly, وَأَنَّهُ لَوْ شَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ ذَلِكَ. And if Allah had willed, none of this could or would happen. None of this could or would happen. If Allah willed that, it didn't happen. If He didn't will it, it could never happen. And this is because what? فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَكُونُ فِي مُلْقِهِ مَا لَا يُرِيدُ. Because indeed, nothing can happen, nothing can exist in His kingdom, in His sovereignty, in the heavens and the earth, that He does not intend or He does not will. Nothing can happen in the universe that is not in accordance, in submission, in subject to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That being said, he says, فَمَا جَوَاب مَا الْجَوَاب. What is the answer then? What is the response? لِمَنْ قَالَ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ وَيُرِيدُ مَا لَا يَرْضَى بِهِ وَلَا يُحِبُّ. So how is it then? How do we respond? How do we answer the one who says, how can he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will and intend that which he is not pleased with and that which he does not love? How can this be by the will of Allah, by the Mashiach of Allah, by the Irada of Allah, if he's not pleased with it and he doesn't love it? How can this be so? Before answering, giving the Shaykh's answer, I want to just go back a little bit and mention a couple of references that I want you to take note of. We don't have time to read through them, but some of the ayats from the Quran that support what the Shaykh is saying, what the author is saying, rahimahullah, that we know from the Quran and from the Sunnah and from the sifat of Allah that He loves the muhsineen and the muttaqeen and the sabireen. And from amongst the many ayats in the Quran is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, 134th ayat, where Allah talks about those who spend when they have plenty and when they have little, and who restrain their rage and their anger, and they pardon the people. And at the end of this ayat, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves the muhsineen. And the people who spend when they have plenty and when they have little, and who restrain their anger when they have the ability to punish the one who has angered them. And they pardon the people for the wrongs that have been done to them. These are the muhsineen. And Allah loves the muhsineen. And there are other ayats similar to this. As far as the muttaqeen, there are many ayats. From amongst them, also from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 76th ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ مَنْ أَوْفَى بِأَهْدِهِ وَاتَّقَى فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. نعم. Indeed, the one who fulfills his covenant, his agreements, and observes taqwa, then indeed Allah loves the people of taqwa. And there are many ayats like this. And from amongst the ayats that mention the sabireen is also in Surah Ali Imran. And I'm mentioning Surah Ali Imran only because yani those are the first ones that came. Third Surah, 146th ayat, where Allah mentions, وَكَأَيِّن مِن نَبِيٍ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رَبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. And how many were the prophets of the past who had with them many learned men who fought with them, and they didn't lose heart due to what was befell them of affliction in the way of Allah, nor did they weaken, nor did they degrade themselves. And indeed, Allah loves those who under those circumstances who remained patient. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. And the ayats concerning those who believe and do good deeds are many. For the sake of time, yani Allah being pleased with them, I'll just mention a couple of references in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 100th Ayat, 58th Surah, 22nd Ayat, 98th Surah, 8th Ayat, and 19th Surah, 96th Ayat. Yani, if you can go back and look at some of them, inshallah, it will be of benefit. 9th Surah, 100th Ayat, 9, 100, 58, 22, 98, 8, and 1996. Inshallah, if you missed it, you can get it from one of the others who got it, inshallah. After this, I quickly want to mention also, due to the shortness of time, we don't want to stay here all night. I want to mention that the Shaykh here, he says that, rahimahullah, that we know from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah and from the Sifat of Allah that He does not love the disbelievers. He does not love the wrongdoers, the transgressors. And He is not pleased with kufr. Yani that the people engage in kufr. Nor does He love al-fasad, corruption. And from the ayats that support what the Shaykh has said here, that Allah does not love the kafirun, the disbelievers, is also Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 32nd ayat. And Surah Ar-Rum, 30th Surah, 45th Ayat. And concerning the Zalimeen, that Allah does not love. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-Zalimeen. This is mentioned in a number of ayats, also in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 57th Ayat. And 3rd Surah, 140th Ayat. And other than that. And as far as Kufr, and this ayah will come back to us many times, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 7th Ayat, إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ. That if you all disbelieve, then indeed Allah is free of need. He has no need of anyone or anything in His creation. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. And Allah is not pleased with kufr. He is not pleased with kufr for His servants. And finally, concerning al-fasad, we mentioned from Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 205th ayat, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ. And again, the ayats that support what the Shaykh said are many, are many. So in spite of this fact, the reality that we know very well, or we should know, and whoever goes back and reads those ayats will become crystal clear that indeed Allah loves the people who believe and do good deeds. And Allah loves the people of taqwa and ihsan and so on, and the patient. And Allah does not love the disbelievers and the wrongdoers, and He doesn't love kufr, and He doesn't love corruption. In spite of that, all of these things occur in this world بِمَشِيَةِ اللَّهِ وَإِرَادَتِهِ, by the will of Allah and His intent. And none of this could have happened if Allah didn't will it. He didn't will it. For indeed, nothing happens in His kingdom that He doesn't will. So how do we answer the question of the person who says, how can Allah will something? Yani, by His mashiyah and His irada, how can He intend for something to occur, to take place, to exist, while He is not pleased with it, and He does not love it? So the Shaykh, he gives an answer to this question, quite thorough answer, and it is sufficient in reality for us to understand this issue. Especially whoever reflects on the ayat that he mentioned. And in this question, I have broken it down into four questions that I want you to look at. If you receive the email with the questions that should be, yani the aspects of this question that need to be addressed. One of them is, what are the two types of Allah's will? Al-Irada or Mashiach. What are the two types of will of Allah? And the second question is, what is the proof, an ayah from the Quran that's an example for each of those two types? And a third question, what are the two primary, fundamental differences between these two types of the will of Allah? What are the two primary differences between them? And finally, what is the summary of the answer that the Shaykh has given here in length? How can you answer this question in brief, with a brief answer? And when we read the comments of Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Uthaymeen, inshallah, he ends his discussion concerning this with a brief answer to this lengthy issue. And recently I have listened to a number of different scholars explaining this issue, and mashallah, every one of them brought some benefit. So we have collected some of it, and we'll try to read as much of it as is possible. So the Shaykh, he says, the answer to this question, yani, how can Allah will something? How can He intend for something to be, to exist, to occur, when He does not love it and He is not pleased with it? He says, اعلم أن الإرادة في النصوص جاءت على معنيين. That al-irada, the will of Allah, what Allah wills, what He intends, came in the textual evidences in Quran and Sunnah with two meanings, with two different meanings. Yani, when you read in the Quran that Allah yuridu, you have to wonder which irada does He mean here, because there are two possible meanings. So the Shaykh says, know that there are two meanings, irada qawniya qadariya. One of them is the irada qawniya qadariya, Allah's universal will. Yani, based on what He has decreed to take place, it will take place. There's no doubt about it. And this one, he said, is al-mashi'a. And by the way, these two words, al-irada and al-mashi'a, although they are normally used interchangeably, the meanings are not exactly the same. As Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said, that al-irada is more general. And one of its meanings is al-mashi'ah. One of its meanings is al-mashi'ah. So these two words are not really mutaradif. They are not equal in meaning, although yani, they are sometimes used interchangeably. So he said the first of them, of the two types of al-irada, is al-irada al-qawniyya al-qadariyya, the universal will of Allah, meaning that it includes everything that happens in the universe. It is by the will of Allah. Whatever occurs in the universe, it is by the will of Allah. This is what is called al-irada al-qawniyya qadariyya. And it is, in one word, described as al-mashi'a. If you want to know what is al-irada al-qadariya, it is al-mashia. It is, whenever Allah wills something, it must be. And whenever He doesn't will something, it will never happen. This is al-mashia. This is one type of al-irada. Yani that when Allah wills something, it must be. There is no escape from it. وَلَا مُلَازَمَةَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ الْمَحَبَّةِ وَالرِّضَى. And this mashia, this irada qawniya, the will of Allah that must be when He wills something, it has to happen, there's no escape from it. It is not required that it be something that Allah loves or something that He is pleased with. Yani it might be something that He loves, and it may not be something that He loves. It might be something that He's pleased with, and it may not be. Yani it's not a requirement that when Allah wills something in His irada qawniya, His universal will, His mashia, it's not a requirement that it has to be something that He loves. It could be and it may not be. بَلْ يَدْخُلْ فِيهَا الْكُفْرُ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَالطَّاعَاتِ وَالْإِصْيَانِ وَالْمُرْضِي وَالْمَحْبُوبِ وَالْمَكْرُوهِ وَدِدُّهُ. Rather, in this irada qawniya al-mashia, in one word al-mashia, it includes kufr, disbelief, and iman. It includes ta'at, acts of obedience, and isyan, acts of disobedience. It includes that which Allah is pleased with, and that which Allah loves, and that which Allah hates, and the opposite of it. All of this comes under al-mashia, yani al-irada al-qawniya. That Allah wills something, it might be something that is an act of obedience, it might be something that's an act of disobedience. This comes under His all-encompassing will, His irada qawniya, that includes everything that exists or take place or occurs in the universe. وَهَذِهِ الْإِرَادَ لَيْسَ لِأَحَدْ خُرُوج مِنْهَا وَلَا مَحِيصْ عَنْهَا. And this type of irada, al-irada qawniya, the universal will, al-mashiyah, there's no one who can get outside of it or escape from it. Yani if Allah wills something, it's going to be. And we saw a lot of ayats, 10 ayats that the Shaykh mentioned in previous yani settings when we sat. He mentioned 10 ayats that we discussed in some detail. And all of those ayats are ayats that are related to Allah's irada qawniya, His mashiyah. That when Allah wills something, it's going to happen. And if He doesn't will it, it cannot happen. It will never happen. And the Shaykh, he gives two examples, two ayats that are representative or examples of al-irada al-qawniya. That is, al-mashia, the will of Allah, which when He wills it, it must happen. There's no escape from it, and there's no way out of it. Like the saying of Allah in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 125th ayat. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. That when Allah wills to guide someone, whoever Allah wills to guide, He will expand His breast towards Islam. He will open His breast and make it easy for him and pleasant to him to accept Islam and to live by it. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَن يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّكًا حَرَجًا. And whoever Allah wills to lead him astray, then He will make his chest tight and constricted and closed so that he will not accept Islam and he will not be pleased with it and he will not comply with it. And this is an example, this ayat, which we discussed previously in the evidences for this level of iman and qadr, in the 6th surah, 125th ayat, it is an example of the will of Allah, the first type of will of Allah, that is al-irada al-qawniya, which is known in one word as al-mashia. Yani al-mashia means the will of Allah. When He wills it, it must happen. If He doesn't will it, it will never happen. The second example the Shaykh gives is from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th surah, 41st ayat, 541. وَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ فِتْنَتَهُ فَلَنْ تَمْلِكَ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُطَحِّرَ قُلُوبَهُمْ. That whoever Allah wills for him fitna, He wills to place him into fitna, to cause him to go into error, because he has rejected the truth and the guidance. And when a person rejects the truth, then Allah turns into that way they turn themselves. When people deviate, then Allah causes their heart to deviate further. Whoever Allah wills for him fitna, then you will never be able to do anything for that person against Allah. No one will be able to help them. The matter is decided. This is the will of Allah. When He wills it, it must be. If He doesn't will it, it will not happen. These are those who Allah does not intend to purify their hearts. Whom Allah does not intend to purify their hearts. Why does Allah not intend to purify their hearts? Because Allah is all-knowing and all-wise And he knows that some people, when he calls them to the right way and sends prophets and messengers, they're not going to listen. They're going to disobey. And they're going to turn away. They're going to turn their back and they're going to, yani, deviate. So Allah does not intend, His irada is not that their hearts be purified. Rather, He intends for them fitna, that they will go astray because of their rejection of the truth. This is the first type of irada, al-irada al-qawniya, the universal will, that covers everything, good and evil, iman and kufr, sins and righteousness, obedient acts to Allah and so on. All of this is included under this. None of these things happen, not sin or obedience, kufr or iman, except it comes under this will, that Allah willed that to happen, that He willed the kufr to happen, or He willed iman or Islam. The second type of irada, irada diniya shara'iyya. Al-irada al-diniya al-shara'iyya. Yani al-diniya means the irada that's connected to Allah's deen, to His sharia, al-shara'iyya. What Allah has legislated, what He has commanded and prohibited based on what He loves and what He's pleased with. Based on what He loves and what He's pleased with, He commands and He prohibits people to do this or don't do that. This is al-irada al-shara'iyya, what Allah has legislated, what He has commanded, what He has placed as guidelines in the deen. And this is especially connected to what Allah is pleased with and what He loves. And it is based on this, what He loves and what He is pleased with, that He commands and prohibits His servants. And the example that the Shaykh gives for this is from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 185th ayah. يُرِدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. يعني يريد الله بكم اليسرى. Allah wants for you ease. He wills that you be in ease. ولا يريد بكم العسرى. And He does not will that you be in difficulty. He does not will that you be in difficulty. Now this is the second type of irada. Al-irada al-shara'iyya. And this type of irada, it, we said, is connected to what Allah is pleased with and what He loves only. And this is different than the first type. This irada, it may or may not happen. And Allah wills ease for you. But not everyone is in ease, right? It didn't happen that everybody is in ease. So Allah wills here means Allah loves. He's pleased that you be in ease. He's not pleased. He doesn't will for you to be in difficulty. Mean He doesn't love that you be in difficulty. But because this is irada shara'iyya, it's not His irada, yani kawniya, that when He wills it, it must happen. Then this what comes under this will is only what Allah loves and what He's pleased with, and it may or may not happen. Yani some of the people will believe and some of them will not. Allah loves that the people believe. Allah loves that the people pray, but not all the people pray, right? Even many of the Muslims don't pray. Even though Allah, He wills that we pray, meaning He legislated, He loves, He's pleased that we pray, but it doesn't always happen. The second ayah that the Shaykh mentions under this type of will, al-irada al-shara'iyya, which includes only what Allah loves and is pleased with, is the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 26th ayah. 4:26. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَيَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. That Allah wills to make clear for you, yani the matters of the deen, what is lawful and unlawful and so on. He wills لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ, to make clear for you. وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ, and to guide you upon the sunan, yani the ways, the correct ways of guidance that the people before you were upon. He wills to make clear to you the right way and to guide you upon the right, the ways of guidance of the people before you. وَيَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ, and He wills that He accept your repentance. He wills this, meaning what? Yuridu here means yuhibbu, He loves, He's pleased, yani to make clear the way for you and to guide you and to accept your repentance. But guess what? It doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen. Because this is the will of Allah that may or may not happen. It only includes what Allah loves and is pleased with, but it may or may not happen. And this is a very important distinction here. And there are other ayahs similar to this, but yani the time is short. So what we are saying here, that irada here, it means mahabba or rida. It means what Allah loves and what Allah is pleased with. So when Allah says in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ, it means يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ. Allah loves, Allah is pleased to make clear to you the ways of guidance, to guide you upon the ways of the people before you. And Allah loves, يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. He loves to accept your repentance. But He doesn't accept everyone's repentance. And accepting repentance means guiding the person to repent in the first place, and to repent sincerely, and then to accept it from them. And this doesn't happen for everyone. Some people don't repent at all, and some people don't repent with the repentance that's accepted, with the conditions that are required. And so Allah doesn't accept everyone's yani repentance. Wallahu alimun hakim, and Allah is all-knowing and all-wise. After this, the Shaykh says, and there are many other ayats yani related to the first type of irada and the second type of irada. And then he says, وَهَذِهِ الْإِرَادَ لَا يَحْصُلْ إِتْبَاعُهَا إِلَّا لِمَنْ سَبَقَتْ لَهُ بِذَلِكَ الْإِرَادَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُ بِذَلِكَ الْإِرَادَ الْقَوْنِيَةِ. Yani that this irada, irada shara'iyya, that which Allah loves and is pleased with, this will not happen, that a person will follow it, that they will act in accord with what Allah loves and is pleased with, unless them doing so has preceded already in al-irada al-qawniya. Yani that Allah willed in His irada qawniya, in His universal will, that this person will do that which is pleasing to him. That this person will do that which is loved by Allah. No one will be able to do good, will be a mu'min or a Muslim or obedient one, except that Allah willed in His universal will that they're going to do so. That means that there are two wills here that come in place with the people who are obedient to Allah. His will, that He loves the people to do good, but before that, His universal will, that He already decreed that the person is going to do that good. فَتَجْمَعُ الْإِرَادَ الْقَوْنِيَّ وَالشَّرَعِيَّ فِي حَقَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ الطَّاعِ. So the two types of irada, al-irada qawniyah first, Allah decreed it to be, and then al-irada shara'iyah, that Allah loved that the person do this. Both of these come together in reference to the believer who is obedient. وَتَنْفَرِدُ الْقَوْنِيَّةُ فِي حَقِّ الْفَاجِرِ الْعَاسِ. But as far as the corrupt person, the sinful person, then only one type of irada occurs with them, and that is the irada al-qawniyah, the universal will. As far as irada shara'iyah, doesn't come into play. Why? Because they are not doing that which is pleasing to Allah. They have not complied with His will to do that which is good, to believe and do good deeds. Both types of will are applicable to the person who actually believes. This is what Allah has decreed in His irada, qawniya, and it is also what Allah has legislated and commanded us with in His irada, al-shara'iyya, what He has legislated, and in the sharia. As far as the disobedient person, then only one type of will is applicable to them, that is what Allah has pre-decreed in the qadr. Yani in His irada al-qawniyya. Then the Shaykh, he ends this question by saying, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala da'a ibadahu amatan ila mardatihi wa hada liijabatihi man sha'a minhum. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called, He has invited His servants, generally all of them, to that which is pleasing to Him. He has called everyone to that which is pleasing to Him. But He has guided, hada, He gave the guidance to respond to that invitation only to those whom He willed. Only to those whom He willed. Yani He called them, everyone, to the right guidance, to be obedient, to be believers, to worship Him, to do what's pleasing to Him. But He willed in His irada, qawni, in His universal will, yani that only some people would be guided. So the invitation goes to everyone, but not everyone accepts it. This is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Yunus, this ayat is a confirmation of this statement, 10th Surah, 25th ayat, كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَى الدَّارِ السَّلَامِ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءِ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. That Allah يَدْعُوا إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ. That Allah invites, He calls all of the people to Dar es Salaam, to Jannah. But He guides whom He wills. And which will? He guides whom He wills to the straight path. Which will is that? He guides Kauniya. He guides whom He wills. That's Kauniya. He guides whom He wills. And He misguides whom He wills. As far as irada shara'iyya, Allah loves that every person be guided. But He doesn't guide everyone. So the will, He guides whom He wills. That means, in His irada, qawniya. So the Shaykh, he ends by saying, so he has made it general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the da'wah, the invitation to the right guidance, he has made it general for everyone, وَخَصَّ الْهِدَايَةِ بِمَنْ شَاءَ. But he has limited the guidance, the people who would actually accept the guidance, only to those whom he wills. Yani in his mashiyah, his irada al-qawniyah, his universal will. He made the invitation to everyone. But he has only willed in his irada qawniyah that must take place, he has only willed that some people will actually accept the guidance. And then the Shaykh ends with this ayat from Surah An-Najm 53:30, 53rd Surah An-Najm, the 30th ayat, that Allah, your Rabb, He is the one who knows best who goes astray from His path, and He knows best who is guided, and who will be guided, who will accept the guidance. And this is, as Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, that your Rabb, He knows best who goes astray from His path, and He knows best those who will be guided. Means that He is the Khaliq, the creator of all of the created beings. And He is the one who knows everything about what is of benefit to His servants. And He is the one who guides whomever He wills. And He leads astray whomever He wills. And all of this, whether whom He guides and those who He misleads, all of this is by His qudra, His power to do whatever He wills, and His knowledge of what people would do. So He knows who to give the guidance to, and His hikmah, His perfect wisdom. So He is the one who is just, perfectly just, who never does injustice ever, not in what He has legislated, nor in what He has decreed. He is the one who is perfectly just, and He never does injustice. There is no injustice in what He has legislated, nor in what He has decreed. So this is what the Shaykh mentioned. And quickly, yani, I'd like to just mention a few comments, yani, from some of the statements of other scholars. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he was asked, what is the difference between al-irada al-qawniyah, the universal will, and irada al-shara'iyah, the legislated will, the sharia, the will of what Allah has legislated, what He has commanded, yani, what He loves and what He is pleased with. The Shaykh asked him, Ya Shaykhana, may Allah yani honor you. My question is concerning the difference between the universal will of Allah, al-irada al-qawniyah, and the legislated will of Allah, al-irada al-shara'iyah, with some example, if you would be so kind to give us an example. Barakallah feekum. May Allah bless you. The Shaykh answers, al-irada al-qawniyah mushtaqqatun min qawlihi ta'ala. That irada al-qawniyah, the universal will, is derived from the saying of Allah. Yani this expression, al-irada al-qawniyah, where does this come from? Yani al-qawniyah, from qawn, yani universe. It comes from the verb kana yakunu, kun. Yani is derived from this statement of Allah in Surah Al-Yasin, 36th Surah, 82nd Ayat, innama amruhu idha arada shayyan ay yakunu lahu kun fayakun. That indeed, the command of Allah, when He intends, when He wills something, is that He says to it, be. And then it is. So here, the command of Allah, kun, brings things into existence. And the qawn, right, means everything that exists. So the irada qawniyah means everything that's in the universe that came into existence or occurs or happens by Allah commanding it, by saying kun, Fayakun. So he said this, irada qawniyah, it is derived from this statement. That when Allah intends a matter, He merely says to it, be, and then it comes into existence. So everything in existence in the universe is by Allah's command to be. This is subject to what? His irada al-qawniyah. And this is clear, very clear, the Shaykh says. However, perhaps, it might not be completely present in the minds of some people, whether or not ash-shar, evil, is this by the will of Allah or not? Is shar evil by the will of Allah or not? The Shaykh is saying, perhaps some people might not, this might not be clear in their mind. That Allah, whenever He intends a matter, He says to it, be and it is. Now, does that also include evil? The Shaykh is saying, so what is your answer? The Shaykh is saying, jawabuk. He's saying to the questioner, so what's your answer? Is evil also by the will of Allah? The questioner says, Naam, by iradatullah, is by the will of Allah. The Shaykh says, okay, therefore, everything that exists in this qawm, in this universe, it is by the irada of Allah, the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. No matter if it is khayran or sharran, if it is good or evil, everything that exists is by the irada of Allah. So this, فهذه الإرادة الشاملة للخير والشر هو إرادة القونية. So this irada that includes, that encompasses the good and the evil, everything, then this is al-irada al-qawniya. He wants to make sure you understand what? That this doesn't just include good, but it includes evil. Everything that exists is by the will of Allah in His universal will, al-irada al-qawniya. أما الإرادة الشرعية, now he goes to the second type of irada. As far as the irada الشرعية, يعني from the sharia, what Allah has legislated, what He has commanded the people with, based on what He loves and what He's pleased with, this is connected to only one of the two types of existence. Yani two types of existence mean everything that exists is either khayr or shar. Everything that exists is either good or evil. So this type, al-irada shar'iyya, is only connected to one of these two types of existence. Isn't it? That thing that is connected to is al-khayr. It is only connected to the good. So one of the scholars, one of the fuqaha, one of the ulama, he said in his line of poetry, he wrote some poetry and he collected the meaning of these two types of irada in one line. He said, "Muridu al-khayri wa sharri, walakin laysa yarda bil mahali." That he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that he's talking, in this line of poetry, he's talking about al-Rabb tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah. That muridu al-khayri wa sharri. Yani that he intends khayr and shar in his irada. What's the irada? Qawniya. He intends the good and the evil that takes place. وَلَكِنْ لَيْسَ يَرْضَ بِالْمَحَالِ. But he is not pleased with, يعني mahal, he said it means shar. He is not pleased with evil. So here is both types of irada. The first type of irada is Allah intends everything that takes place, whether good or evil, this is irada al-qawniya. And the second type is that Allah is not pleased with evil. He is not pleased with evil. يعني he doesn't want, he doesn't will evil. And that means his what? Irada shar'iyya. Yani he wants good and evil in irada qawniya, but he is not pleased with shar in his irada shar'iyya. He has not legislated. He has not commanded the people to do evil. He's not pleased with it. He doesn't love it. So this is clear in the Quran, in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Zumr, 39th Surah, 7th Ayah, which we mentioned previously. The Shaykh said it becomes clear in this ayat, لَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرُ. That Allah is not pleased with kufr for his servants. Even though kufr exists in this creation, in this universe. And that kufr's existence is by the will of Allah. But it's by his what? Irada qawniya, universal will. So he wants, Allah yuridu, yani yuridu, he intends that this kufr take place and that this kafir exists, but this is in his irada qawniya. Yani that covers everything that exists in the universe. But he does not want it in his irada shara'iyya. He is not pleased with kufr. He doesn't love it. He said that, I hope this is sufficient to make the matter clear. And the questioner said, Jazakallahu khaira. And the Shaykh says, Wayaka. And finally, I want to mention the answer of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen to a similar question. And then we'll close with this. The Shaykh was asked, ما هي أقسام الإرادة? And there are a lot of times when he was asked this question, and some of them are on the internet, you can listen to some of his answers that he gave. Most of the time he gave this general answer like this, sometimes more lengthy, sometimes more brief. So this one is a moderate answer we selected, inshallah. He gave some longer answers, mashallah, he brought a lot of good points, but for the sake of time we have taken a short answer. The Shaykh, he says, what is the different types of irada? He answered by saying, irada tanqasim. تَنْقَسِمْ إِلَىٰ قِسْمَيْنِ. That irada is divided into two divisions. The first of them is irada qawniya, the universal will, and the second of them is irada shara'iyya. So what are the two types of irada? Irada qawniya, irada shara'iyya, the universal will and the legislative will. فَمَا كَانَ بِمَعْنَى الْمَشِيَةِ فَهُوَ irada qawniya. Now the Shaykh simplifies this matter for us. فَمَا كَانَ بِمَعْنَى الْمَشِيَةِ فَهُوَ إِرَادَ الْقَوْنِيَةِ. So whatever has the meaning of مَشِيَةَ. The مَشِيَةَ meaning whatever Allah wills will be, has to be. There's no escape from it. Whenever you read an ayat, in the Quran that has the meaning of Mashiach, that Allah wills something and it must happen, then this is irada qawniya. وَمَا كَانَ بِمَعْنَى الْمَحَبَّةِ فَهُوَ irada الشَّرْعِيَةِ. But whenever you read an ayah in the Quran that says Allah wills something, but the meaning of it is not that He demands that it's going to happen, rather it's something that He loves or is pleased with, then if this meaning of mahabba comes, then this is irada shara'iyya. So irada qawniya, in one word, is the mashiyah of Allah that must be executed. Though it includes what He loves and what He doesn't love. And the irada shara'iyya, the meaning of it in one word is mahabba. It is what Allah loves. Or rida, what Allah is pleased with. And this only, yani this al-irada shara'iyya only includes what Allah loves and is pleased with, and it may or may not happen, as opposed to al-mashiyah, yani irada qawniya, it must happen. Then the Shaykh gives an example of each type. He gives an ayah from the Quran as an example for each type, and the example he gives is very clear also. The example for irada shara'iyya, the legislated will, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 27th ayah, 427, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And Allah, يُرِيدُ, He wills to accept your repentance. وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah wills to accept your repentance. Here the meaning of it, is it irada qawniya or irada shara'iyya? Allah wills to accept your repentance. Is this something that must happen? No. But Allah what? يُحِبُّ. He loves. He is pleased to accept your repentance. But it may not happen. So this is irada shara'iyya. This is a clear example. And if you read yani the ayat surrounding this, 27th ayah and 28th ayah, you see more examples of irada shara'iyya. The Shaykh says, Allah wills to accept your repentance. This is an example of irada shara'iyya. This is because yuridu here, it means yuhibbu, that Allah loves to accept your repentance. And the meaning cannot be al-mashiyah, al-irada, al-qawniyah, al-mashiyah. Cannot be that Allah demands that your repentance be accepted, that He requires, necessitates it. And this is because if the meaning here was Allah wills, yani al-irada, al-qawniyah, that it must happen. If it means here that Allah wills to accept your repentance, that irada qawniyah, then He would have accepted the repentance of all of humanity. And this can never happen, because most of the people are kuffar. Most of the people are kuffar. So it's not possible that the meaning here could be that Allah wills in His irada qawniya, that must happen, that He accept the repentance of all people, because that will not happen. So then the meaning of yuridu here, that Allah intends to accept your repentance, it means yuhibbu an yatuba alaykum, that He loves, He is pleased to accept your repentance. And that it doesn't, Allah's loving something does not require that it must occur, because His yani extensive, all-encompassing divine wisdom might necessitate that that thing does not occur, that it does not take place. Yani due to Allah's wisdom, it might be that Allah loves something, but He doesn't will in His irada qawniya that it must happen. It may not occur. Yani Allah loves that all the people believe, but it doesn't happen that all the people will believe. The example of irada qawniya, the universal will that must occur, he said is from the Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 34th Ayat. إِن كَانَ اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يُغَوِيَكُمْ. That if Allah, yuridu, intends to mislead you, to lead you astray, if Allah intends, yani the beginning of the ayat, Hud alayhi salam, he is saying, لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ نُصْحِي إِنْ أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَنْصَحَ لَكُمْ. That my advice to you will not benefit you. If I intend to advise you, if Allah intends to mislead you, yani my intention to guide you, to advise you, will not benefit you. If Allah intends, إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يُغْوِيَكُمْ. If Allah intends to lead you astray, to misguide you, then my intention to advise you will not be of any benefit. The meaning of yuridu here doesn't mean that Allah intends, if Allah loves to misguide the people. Does it mean that? Or does it mean if Allah wills, al-mashiyah, al-irada al-qawniyah, if he demands that a person be misled, then in that case, even the prophets, if they intend to guide a person and advise them, it would not be of any benefit, because this irada qawniyah, irada here, al-irada qawniyah, means that when Allah wills something, in this irada, it must happen. And this, yani, it must be this will, irada qawniyah, in this ayat, because Allah, He doesn't love to mislead His servants. He doesn't love it. He wills it in certain cases because He knows those people, that they are useless, that the guidance will not benefit them, and they will not appreciate it, and they will not utilize it. So He loves, yani, that the people be guided, but nonetheless He wills in certain cases that some people be misguided. This is not Allah's, yani, irada shar'iyya, what He loves, but it is irada kawniyya, what Allah wills that must happen. So it is not correct that the meaning here be that Allah loves that the people be misguided, but the meaning here is that Allah wills in His universal will that some people will be misguided. Then what remains is, what is the difference between the two types of will, al-irad al-qawniyya and shara'iyya, from the perspective of whether or not what Allah wills will occur or not? What is the difference between them? I think we already know what's the difference between them. If somebody can tell me before we read the Shaykh's answer, what is the difference between al-irada qawniyya, universal will, and irada shara'iyya in reference to whether or not what He wills in either of them will occur or not? What is the difference? Naam.
One, qawniyya will definitely happen.
The qawniyya will definitely happen.
And shara'iyya may or may not happen.
And the shara'iyya may or may not happen. This is the difference between them in reference to whether or not what Allah wills, will it occur or not? If it is His irada qawniyya, universal will, it must happen. If it is irada shara'iyya, what He legislates, what He loves and is pleased with, it may happen or it may not happen. So this is one of the primary differences between them. And what is the other difference between them that we already talked about in what we have read so far? Somebody else. What is the other difference between them? Now, the first one includes evil and good. That's irada qawniyya, universal will. And the second one? Only includes good. It only includes what Allah loves and is pleased with. These are the two primary differences between them. So the Shaykh, he says, so we say that the qawniyya, it must occur. What Allah intends in it, if He intends something, and in zirada qawniyya, then it must happen. It must take place. And this is based on the saying of Allah in Surah Yasin, 3682, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That indeed His command to a thing, when He intends it, is that He says to it, be, and it is. This irada qawniyya must take place. Although it may include what He loves as well as what He does not love. As far as al-irada shara'iyya, it might occur what He intends, or it might not occur. And indeed Allah might intend in His irada shara'iyya something, and He loves it. However, what He loves may not occur. It might not occur. It might and it might not occur. It's not a must that it occur. And finally the Shaykh says, so if a person says, and this is a question that we started with from the book, but the Shaykh simplifies it here, he simplifies the question and he simplifies the answer. And this is the summary from Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen of this question that we discussed tonight. He said, the Shaykh presented the question in his explanation of this. He says, what if somebody said, حَلِلَّهُ يُرِيدُ الْمَعَاسِي. Does Allah yurid, does He intend that sin occur? So we say, yuriduha kawnan wala shar'an. That's the simple answer. Does Allah intend for sin to occur in the earth? We say, yuriduha kawnan, in His irada qawniyya, la shar'an, not in His irada shar'iyya. Yani He, yuriduha, in His irada qawniyya means, He, for some wisdom, or some objective, some purpose, He declared, He decided, He decreed that this will take place. Yani sin, that it will take place. But He does not, لا يريدها شرعا, in His irada shara'iyya, and what He has legislated, what He loves and what He is pleased with, He does not love sin. And this is because al-irada shara'iyya has the meaning of al-mahabba, means what Allah loves, and Allah does not love sin. However, He intends it qawniyan, in His irada qawniyya, yani His mashiyah. And that is because, why do we say that? Because everything that occurs in the heavens and the earth is by the Mashiach of Allah, by the will of Allah. And this is the end of what we wanted to say tonight. We might have went over time a little bit, so please pardon me. Any question before we close? Any question? And I said, like I said, there are four questions that I want you to try to answer when you look at this question that we had tonight. The first question is, yani, what are the two types of irada? And the second question is, give me an example, an ayah from the Quran that displays each of those two types of irada. And the third question is, what are the two principal, fundamental differences between irada qawniyah and irada shara'iyah? And finally, the simple answer, the summary answer that we just read from Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, concerning this question of whether or not Allah wills that sin, or likewise corruption, filth, kufr, shirk, does Allah will that this stuff occur in the earth? We say He wills it in His irada qawniyah. He does not will it in His irada shara'iyah. Meaning that Allah has decreed that this will happen and take place, but He doesn't love it. He is not pleased with it. Naam. Any question? Naam.
It has a saying, I can't remember the hadith or what, they say that all good comes from yourself, and all good comes from Allah, and evil comes from yourself.
Naam.
How does that reply with
it? It means that all good comes from Allah, means everything comes from Allah. Yeah. But Allah, we don't attribute evil to Allah. We don't attribute evil to Allah. Because even the evil that comes by the decree of Allah has an objective and a purpose, and is based upon a wisdom. Allah intends to achieve something by it. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ لِيَذُوقُوا بَعْدُ مَا عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that corruption spread in the earth and in the sea and in the earth, fi al-barri wal-bahri, in the earth and in the sea, so that you may taste some of what you have done, some of the consequence of your actions, that you will, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, that perhaps they will return, that they will repent to Allah. So even though this corruption that takes place in the earth is something that Allah intends, He doesn't intend it for the sake of corruption, but He intends it for the purpose of what it may lead to, that this corruption spread in the earth will be a punishment for the people for what they have done, and this might awaken them and cause them to turn back and repent to Allah. So Allah, He allows evil, He intends evil, whether it's shaitan, whether it's kufr or shirk or whatever it may be, He intends it not for the kufr itself, but for some wisdom that He intends to bring about by it. Like there would be no enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong in the earth if there were no people committing sin, right? There wouldn't be any jihad in the earth if there were no kuffar. The Muslims, yani, there wouldn't be any purpose for it. There wouldn't be so many things, tests that we have in this world. There wouldn't be, and if there wasn't sickness and death and other things, there wouldn't be any tests for the people. And the people have to be tested by these things in order for it to make manifest, in order for Allah to make manifest, yani, the yani, justification of the end result, that people will end up by being rewarded in paradise or punished in the hellfire. All of this has a wisdom. There's a purpose behind it. Why Allah created shaitan? There's a purpose. The shaitan is a test for the people. If there was no test, how will we distinguish those who deserve, yani, who show that they believe in Allah and they stick to it and they are obedient to Allah even when they're tested by shaitan, from those who would not? There's a purpose. There's an objective. So yes, we don't attribute evil to Allah, but rather we attribute the evil to ourselves, even though everything happens by the decree of Allah. Okay, we'll stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.